Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, and off we go. And that, my friends, is what our team should look like. Last night, Miles Straw, triplet, Bregman, 3 RBIs. I mean, hit after hit, merry-go-round. That's our guys right there. 8-2 winners. Now, we could have used some more out of Javier. That would have been nice. Just 5 innings. That's and you throw 5 innings, and then all of a sudden, oh, here comes Brian Abreu. Oh, guess what's going to happen? Guess what?
God,
oh, they're
man,
back in the game.
He's picking it back up where he left off last year.
Who? Abreu? I know.
What the hell? Can one guy pitch? Can one guy in the bullpen get guys out right now?
No, Joe Smith.
I don't want to linger on that too much because Javier was brilliant last night. There's a good chance you didn't see it. Game was on YouTube.
Yeah.
Which is the future of baseball.
Is it, though?
Oh, 100%. If YouTube will make them a deal, that's where they'll go. Because do you honestly think ESPN's going to keep ponying up big dollars? No, they're not.
Probably not.
I mean, MLB Network is eventually going to just be, if it's not already, it's going to be on YouTube, live TV. Because the DirecTVs of the world are not going to keep paying to have MLB networks and NFL networks on, you know, because you got to pay. You have to pay them for their, you know, they say this is what we need. So you need to put that in your bill. And they're already saying, hey, we don't want to keep charging our people the bills. We're charging them already because they're leaving, you know, DirecTV. And so MLB Network, NFL Network obviously has more juice than MLB Network. But that's why you have to deal with, is MLB Network even on my Channel 11? Is Channel 11 even on my DirecTV anymore?
Well,
What? Channel 11?
Yeah. Right. Well, that happens all the time.
It was off during games, yeah. Like that I was trying to watch. I'm wait.
Yeah.
What?
No, what the hell? Anyway, so that's more, man, oh man, it would look like a different team, didn't it?
Man, Javier looked so good. The bats woke up early. Hitting throughout the middle of the lineup with Breggy and Correa. And you had, there was more of the same for, unless he got a hit late, there's more of the same for Kyle Tucker because he didn't see late. But it was a really good outing for Christian Javier. That was the main thing, is you finally got a starter who pitched like a good starter. This has been a problem now. Arcidi can't get a good one going. You have Lance McCullers hasn't pitched. Greinke, we'll find out more about Greinke. I think we know who Greinke is anyway, but he's going to have his when he's not fine, really fine with his location, he's going to get banged around a little bit. They really need Fromber back, and good news on the Fromber front. There's now video. There's now some video. There's a Fromber sighting.
Yeah, he was throwing. There's a video of him throwing, and boy, it looks like, I mean, everything is down. It's crisp. Man, they were talking about, you know, he's not going to be able to come back and say, we're in April and dude is throwing off a mound and looking sharp. So there's a video out there right now, if you haven't seen it yet, of Fromber throwing off a mound. He looks great. So it is, that's some really good news. And then, you know, when I'm reading in the article, it says, well, that'll make, you know, Fromber gets back into the, and then it's Greinke, or it's Greinke and Fromber, and then it's Odorizzi and it's Urquidy and McCullers, and Javier can go back to the bullpen. Really? Really? Well, I don't know about that. One of the elite long relievers. Why is it that Javier, I mean, I guess it's him. Maybe Urquidy goes to the pen. You know, he's a big, big guy. He can go to the pen and you know, and bring get you 3 innings if you want. or he can hopefully, I don't know. We'll have to see. Javier is obviously a guy who has moved back and forth from bullpen to starter. But immediately eliminating Javier out of this rotation, I don't know that that's the way to go.
I don't think it is the way to go. And you and I talked about yesterday. I mean, the benefit is, what we're basically asking for is, can we get a Javier starter and a Javier reliever?
Yeah.
That's really what we want.
Well, that's what Perrette is supposed to be.
Yeah.
He, I don't know.
Hopefully. But
he actually said, too, that he's close to coming back.
Well, Javier is, I'll take him. Whatever. Anybody knew. Javier is the guy that, you know, we would love to see be able to go two or three innings twice in a seven-day period. That'd be great to have more of Javier because it would be very beneficial. But then you watch him start last night and you're reminded that, man, he's a young guy with a lot of talent. And he's got punch-out stuff. He's got good location. Like, he's a really talented pitcher. And that, I mean, frankly, right now, you need stoppers. What good is your bullpen when you're down four or five anyway within the first 4 to 5 innings? So, I guess he'll be more valuable. It'll be interesting to see how they handle this, because when Fromber gets back, and if you keep Javier as a starter, Fromber, Javier, Greinke's not going anywhere. You didn't pay Lance McCullers $85 million to be a reliever. So you got him. So now you've got Odorizzi, who I guess is five, and then who's out? Fromber, Javier, Greinke, McCullers, Odorizzi.
Urquidy goes to the
pen. Yeah, because Urquidy really hasn't.
It would probably be Urquidy, yeah, if Urquidy. You want to. Well, we'll see. I mean, Javier, because they know that Javier can go to the pen. He can give you three in the postseason. He was awesome. Yeah, you got to find out what Urquidy's about this year before you do that, but. But it was nice to see how, man, he's got a whip, and he looked so good. That's why I just didn't understand. Why did you send him to just work out? And you sent him to go work out to try to get him more innings, and he goes five. And he comes back and goes five. Give me six. Give me seven, Javier. Okay? Can you please be more economical with your pitches? 98 pitches? Is that what we're going to do around here? No. What we're gonna do is we're gonna throw seven innings, because I can't trust Abreu or Smith in a 6-run game.
No.
I just can't.
No, you can't. But yesterday you did have. Thankfully, your offense woke up early in the game, and that was nice to see.
Yeah.
So and by the way, there was Miles Straw was back in the lineup, but he was not at the front end of the lineup as Carlos Correa.
Where he was supposed to be
leading off, and I think that's what we're going to see from now on. I think we're going to see Carlos, which is more of the George.
Well, that's what they did in spring training.
Yeah, well, they did a few things, but that is more of the George Springer mold of having a guy with some pop and a guy that you want to get multiple at bats. Maybe you want him to be behind some good, in front of some good hitters, so he sees better pitches, because they don't want him on base, and so you may see him get a little better pitching. So to watch. So I like it. I think Carlos Correa will be there. I think this is who's going to be the new leadoff guy. I think it's going to be Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Even when Tuve gets back, it wouldn't shock me if Tuve's in the two hole and Correa's leading off.
Art says, excuse me.
I just poured some milk inside my ice coffee. It's fine.
What's he doing?
He's just upset about the jug. I've got a coffee jug.
You got a gigantic. I know. Mm-hmm. Lightheaded all the time.
No,
you're drinking an entire jug of iced coffee.
I'm sitting here waiting for the blood results. Like, nothing. We'll see what happens.
Well, it'd be best. Wouldn't it be best to die here on the show?
Man, with your boots on?
With your boots on?
Yeah, you get nervous. You get Shock G. Pour one out for Digital Underground.
I think explain that to John.
Yeah, I think it's two guys from Digital Underground.
I didn't understand anything you said.
Remember, just grab him in the biscuits.
He doesn't Humpty know. Dance.
I don't know about that. Humpty Hump?
But, yeah. See?
Mm-hmm.
Humpty Hump. He's dead at 57.
Yeah.
What up, Humpty Hump?
But, well.
What?
I don't know that what up Humpty Hump was the...
But Shock G, well, what?
He's the man who put the satin in your panties.
Yeah.
Shock G, you may remember him.
I remember him.
There's Humpty Hump, and then there's Shock G. Shock G was the alter ego. Humpty was the alter ego. Shock G was the actual rapper. They were from Oakland. Tupac could be seen in their earliest videos. He was a dancer there before he took off and got good. There was a movie made with... It was a terrible movie with a great song. same song. And it had Dan Aykroyd, Chicago, Detroit or Chicago? No.
Dan Aykroyd, Chicago.
He was Chicago, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Well, the Detroit, Blues Brothers were Chicago.
Blues Brothers, Chicago. I'm thinking Dr. Detroit is why that was in my mind. Remember that movie where he played, where Dan Aykroyd was a pimp? Do you think that'll be made now? He's Dr. Detroit.
I don't. Well, yeah, it could be made now.
He goes up against a very butch lady who was Ma, and we had a pimp versus another pimp in a big fight, and it's Dr. Detroit. And he was a kind-hearted pimp because that's not really what he was. He had to become that
persona.
He was
a pimp with a heart of gold.
Yeah, okay. Dan Aykroyd was doing stuff like that. Like he had, he took in a hooker took him in.
Pimp with the Heart of Gold is more unrealistic than any Marvel movie I've ever watched.
Well, he wasn't. Hold on, he wasn't a pimp. He had to pretend to be one because somebody had done something to kind of get sideways. So he had to pretend like he was a pimp so that he could protect people. And he had his over the top persona. It's worth seeing, Dale.
Is it?
Yeah, because in 48 hours, you can also see where they take a man off the street and flip him into an incredibly impressive. A financial wizard is Eddie Murphy, who is a street man, and Dan Aykroyd, who
Trading
is
places I'm aware.
Dan Aykroyd, who is a fancy, who lives the fancy life, and goes to suites and baseball games and runs around in his private planes. And then all of a sudden, the Randall and Mortimer,
you don't have to explain the plot.
They flip
to
him and basically ruin him for everything. They plant drugs on him.
Who do you think you are? You don't have.
And then he ends up in the street getting picked up by a hooker with a heart of gold.
You don't have to explain the plot the Trading Places to me.
No.
You don't have to.
No, I don't think you've seen Trading Places.
No, I called it out before you started going, oh, you mean Trading Places? I said that.
You just know in a general sense. Yeah, you don't know the plot.
You don't know the
plot. Oh, you mean those two questionable old men who are having their game? Yeah, I know. I know the movie. Thank you.
I'll bet you $1. You ruined a man's life for $1? One crisp dollar bill. Do you remember when the oranges came out, Dale, and they had the financial report? God. And then the guy got pounded
got in
by gorilla
the gorilla suit. And then, remember
and then guys, the gorilla whacked him?
Yeah, didn't whack. Well, he did stuff.
He went to work on him.
Yeah, he did stuff. And the gorilla outfit. Fell in love with the man in the
that's
gorilla
movies
outfit.
Back in the 80s had a little more flavor to them. A little more style. Oh, yeah.
If that's what you want to call it.
A little more cachet. A little more savoir faire, as we to call it, Dale.
Yeah, today you're gonna make okay.
You're gonna
what
make
if,
that.
What about the sheriff going to a new town?
Here's yeah. Well, I mean that one's just fighting and bleeping.
That's
that one. But how about this one, Dell? Another movie from the '80s, and a lot of times they involve people who become pimps. There's another one where your Batman, one of your guys, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Marvel guy. I'm not a DC guy.
Batman, one of the Marvel guys. Batman.
He's a DC guy.
Is in this movie, he ends up at a mortuary. And he ends up being, he and Fonzie turn into pimps. And they pimp out Shelley Long, who was in Cheers, which seemed at the time reasonable. Now it doesn't seem as reasonable now when I really take a good hard look at it. Like, this isn't typically a streetwalker.
You're talking about Night Shift?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, okay. you had to Google
that.
Well,
you just Googled
that.
You
Googled all that.
You don't know nothing about it.
But I knew the other one.
And there's a guy that looks like Jeff Van Gundy who takes his mustard and mayonnaise and puts
First
it all over
all,
the door of
I'm supposed to believe
Fonzie.
Some hooker looks like Jamie Lee Curtis in her prime. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Shelley Long.
Sure.
Well, hi, I'm Shelley
Long. Hey, there were some nice.
I'm just walking the streets.
TV
hookers, movie hookers used to be pretty
hot. Lady
in
Red. I mean, yeah.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Hookers
in the
80s
were fine.
And in the 90s were
apparently.
Yeah, pancake, kind of pancake-ish, but fine.
And
Shelley
then,
Long,
they ended
Julia
up,
Roberts?
It turned out they just had a heart of gold
and then,
in most cases.
Hookers and pimps all at the heart of gold. Yes,
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah. And except then Ramrod.
Until you go get to airplane road, and then you're like, oh.
Well, yeah.
Airline?
Airline row, excuse me. You're like, oh.
Yeah, they're not the same.
It's not
the '80s anymore.
Hookers were, pimps were better in the 80s, obviously.
Man, they got those.
What about the two guys?
They got those girls from William and Mary to come and walk the streets.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. You have, two nice guys. One of them is an idea man who says feed fish mayonnaise to get tuna. Feed tuna mayonnaise. That's how you can get,
tuna
tuna
fish in a can. Yeah,
tuna fish in a can. It can actually have mayonnaise pre-mixed in. people who are hustling, who are out there trying to come up with great ideas.
I appreciate the aughts and the 2010s where the hooker in the show couldn't also be voted most beautiful person on what, People magazine?
Yeah.
No, that's not what a hooker is. You don't
not
you
now.
In the 80s.
Not now.
In the 80s.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
In the early 90s, hookers like could run into super rich men and have a love affair, frankly, and then get treated poorly in a haberdashery for women, and then all of a sudden Richard Gere straightened that out. And I'm like, wow, this is this is every woman's dream to now, be that.
You know
hooker.
What? After that, though, there wasn't one hooker couldn't walk into Chanel and not get service
because they realized this could be with a super wealthy man. This hooker could be with a self. I'm not gonna profile.
Doesn't seem likely,
could
but
be with a Richard Gere type guy
with the rip and the nylon
and it was
and the,
yeah.
Net,
yeah.
And
it was
the fishnet.
And you know, wouldn't you say it was also kind of a like a women's empowerment thing,
too,
where women could look?
I see that. Yes,
where women could look and say, super, you know what, I could even aspire to this. Starts as hooker,
yeah, right,
and then turns into.
Oh, now all of a sudden she's got her head out of a limo.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever got married necessarily, but
he rescued her in the white limo. Yeah.
But what about that movie where three women who got a divorce from their terrible, terrible men ended up ruining all of their lives? With, I don't know what, I can't remember the name of that movie, but you probably know it, Dale. Since
you're not giving me enough.
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
Bette Midler and the other women. Oh. I don't know.
Witches of Eastwick?
No.
Not that one. 7:15 ESPN.
So one thing we learned in this first segment, Javier, good. Hookers in the 80s, nice.
Great.
Pimps, not that bad in the 80s,
no,
honestly.
No. Hard to go.
Because a lot of times they weren't even pimps. They were stepping in to try to help the girls.
Right. Mm. Hard
hey,
to go.
Listen, girls.
7:15.
We're going to pimp you out and not take your money.
ESPN.
80s were a friendlier time.
97.5. Time to talk right now, though.
Like your generation.
Okay, sure. There wasn't Coke or anything in the 80s.
Time to talk right now about Champion. Champion Energy. That's what we're supposed to talk about. We're supposed to talk about the peeps over Champion Energy and the wonderfulness that is. And you know what? Forget the 80s. This has been going on for over a decade now, and it's been the best. Okay, so if you're, it doesn't get any better than Champion. Listen, I'm serious. If you want to save money every single month, you want the best electricity company, you want a local company, keep that money right here as opposed to sending it nationally to wherever or where they put giant names on big buildings. No, what we're going to do is we're going to keep it right here. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:19 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
You're talking over Shock G.
He doesn't.
Well, this is actually Humpty Hump. There's Shock G right there.
I don't know. Voice. You're supposed to start talking when the
yeah. That's
kind
of how the thing.
That's
works.
How it works.
No. This is music.
You want to hear it? All right.
You have the left. You could have listened to it during the break.
Yeah.
Serious
movie. Why didn't you just put it on your?
Let the people hear what they want to hear. They can't just hear do what you like whenever they want.
We could have put it on my laptop with my speaker.
So we had that is terrible. That sounds like a trunk.
I got
a speaker that's been blown out. Yeah.
It's really not good.
So we used to have, we used to watch two shows. You would watch, I guess I was supposed to be in school, but I moved to Austin because I just dropped out because I didn't want to be in school anymore. So I was living with Chris Solis, my buddy Michael, my buddy Will. And what you did was, this is the good old days. I wish this could be like this forever. I wake up whenever I wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have any food because we were poor.
Right.
But, you know, so you made yourself a grilled cheese sandwich or some ramen noodles, put some cheap spaghetti sauce on it. You thought you were living. If you were really balling, you would have some cinnamon toast for dessert. So that was like what, but we didn't care, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we would watch, it started with Rap City with the Maya, Chris, what's Chris's last name? Not Chris Wallace, Chris Harris. I can't remember who the Maya was. His name was Chris something. And then Ed Lover and who's the fat guy? Ed Lover and
this is your story. This, well,
no,
you
no,
yeah,
it's the on TV raps.
And we would try really, really move
it
along quickly.
Yeah, it's good so far. Yeah, it's moving quickly.
Wow.
Ed and Dre. So it was Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. And so
Josh and Drake?
No.
What?
Ed and Dre.
Is that, you used to sit around and watch, in college
Dr. watching. Dr. Dre and Ed Lover.
Josh
Dr.
and Dre.
Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. Okay. Your hearing's
then,
not good.
And then iCarly he watched as well.
Right after.
I don't know. Those shows aren't in my wheelhouse. But and then that's whenever Digital Underground came out. So we would always wait to see Do What You Like and Humpty Dance. And Do What You Like to me was the better song. Even though Humpty Dance was the one that had Tupac in it.
I hope they call you for the tribute to this man because you've been so eloquent and getting to the point. I hope they call you and say, Lance Erlein will give a tribute.
I just have to remember the name. Shot G. He was in, by the way, he did a great job on Evolution of Hip Hop. He talked a lot about the Bay Area sound. And he was really, really good, by the way. Evolution of Hip Hop is a phenomenal series. And the one where they talked about Houston and then the Bay Area.
Is this what
was
you used
really,
to
really
watch
good.
In college? What? Are we still? Are we done with that?
No,
one?
No, no. That's a Netflix.
You know what you have to say, right?
That one's not going to hit your suggestions. Okay. I don't think.
You know what you have to say, right?
Right.
Neat stuff.
Neat stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Neat stuff.
You have Texans Propaganda says, so according to Dell, a giant purple alien wiping out half of life in the universe is more believable than a pimp with a heart of gold.
Yes, that is the joke. Yes, I would actually believe an alien came down, decided he needs to create balancing universe by killing half of all life more than I believe a pimp. Would like, yeah, ladies, let's just hang out and do what you like. I'm going
to
help you
do
out
do what
here.
You like. See, it comes back to the Shock G and listen, Digital Underground.
And we'll just share all the money.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
And I won't do anything to you. Life will be great.
Yeah.
Yes, the alien is more believable.
Well, when you got morticians that are going to be the pimps, then yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what
that's
better
exactly
than
what happens.
The mortician is just a great cover.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no.
You know,
it's
you're
a
running
place
girls
run a,
through there
yeah,
out
run,
on the track.
It's a perfect place to run girls.
Childish Tattoo says, I love this stupid show so much. Keep up the bad work, guys.
Let's
you're welcome.
Get Red Raider Kevin in here because there was actually something that we need to talk about that we haven't yet. Red Raider Kevin, what's going on?
No, man, I appreciate you guys for the lead in to my conversation talking about the pimps and the hoes. Because yesterday when I saw those women walking in the courtroom, the first thing I thought was, now, if these are the actual women who are claiming Deshaun did this, one or two things need to happen. Deshaun needs to be taken out back in NRG and have his ass beat, or he needs to go to jail. Because if you took something from some of those women that was walking in court, brother, you got a serious problem for real. I'm not a millionaire, and I just wouldn't accept nothing even free from some of that trash that was walking in court. I mean, it was like me. I begin to wonder.
Kevin, you do understand that
we're
going to let you editorialize.
We're
going to let you editorialize.
Yeah,
you do realize that we're trying to stay employed.
Right, and so
Wait a minute. Did they show it all on? Because what I saw, they
necessarily
got the,
agree
they've
with
got
the
blurred,
thoughts of Kevin, Red
they've
Raider
got
Kevin.
The blurred faces.
Yeah, they got.
Well, they showed them walking out of the courtroom.
They didn't blur their faces. They didn't blur their faces. Some of the women had on masks, of course, but they didn't blur their faces or bodies, which Deshaun probably wished they blurred their body.
We can't.
Then, you know, hey, look, I'm a brother. We like the butt. But let's be real. And so when some of them turned the corner, I'm going to be real with you. I recorded it on DVR just so I could watch it again.
You did not record
so
wait,
you
did
so
not
you're
record
looking
this
at now,
on DVR.
Like Lance looking at tape of offensive tackles. Now you're breaking down the alleged victims
he
here,
just said,
Kevin.
Turn the corner.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you know, when they turned the corner, you get to see them from behind because the camera didn't move. The camera just kind of showed them walking down the hall. Then they made that right turn and going to the courtroom, and it showed them walking into the courtroom. I'm like, come on, Deshaun. I lost all respect for Deshaun Watson in that moment. I'm like, come on, bro. You're a millionaire. You could have your choice of bad hotties in Houston, and this is the garbage you choose to allegedly take something from? Like, come on, dude. And then you know what I've always honestly been confused about because I want to know how he did it. They said he forced his manhood into their mouth. Like, how do you force that? Because when I was married, I would have to damn choke my wife.
Cut him that's off. All. That's all.
Kevin,
right,
call us
Kevin.
Off the
that's
air
all.
So we can.
That's it.
We
that's
can.
It.
When I was married, We can't with you today,
no,
Kevin.
No, Kev.
We can't with you today.
I thought you went too far before, but yeah, you hit.
Yes. When I was married.
Yeah.
My wife's coming back from Memorial Park right now.
Right, that's unfortunate. Is Marty in the car?
No.
Oh, good.
You're going to get me catching heat already. Yeah. What was he saying? Like, I don't know. Why would he say that?
I don't know.
Well, you know.
That's victim shaming right there, and we're not doing that. 726. You know what? Let's take a break. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
729 ESPN 97.5. Reeling the show back in. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here and hang out with us, just reeling it in just a little after Kevin's call. Red Raider Kevin, great to have you back. 713-780-3776. All right, before we get, we got guys waiting and they want to get in here. How about some NCAA rule changes? 2-point tries now after the second touchdown in overtime.
Demanding it, yeah, to make it go quicker.
Yeah. I mean, yes. And
I'd be cool with it after the first one.
And then after the third one, not the fifth one, we're going to go straight to 2-point conversions.
NCAA has it so much better than the NFL. I don't know why the NFL doesn't just copy. Let's do what they're doing.
Well, they can't know because the NFL.
Did you see all the NFL's rules came out? The rule changes came out yesterday, and the onside kick, instead of having 11 in one area within 25 yards of the ball, you can have only 9 now, which is supposed to help the kicking team, but they only had 3 recoveries last year out of 67 onside kicks. Yeah, you've over-legislated.
Yeah.
You've basically created a competitive imbalance that's no good.
Well, and actually, the onside kick, yeah, only 3 out of 60. The onside kick made games a lot more exciting. And now it's, you know, you won.
The spot of the ball concept was raised by 2 teams, and they don't think it'll be that it won't have a chance for the next 5 to 10 years. Because you just have owners. Right now, owners are just, nah, that's not the way it is. The way it's always been is this way. In college football, they don't have to operate like that. Mm-hmm. They can operate, I think, frankly, with more sense. Because you don't have owners who just say, nah, this seems too drastic. This is too wild. We're not used to this. No thanks. When the reality is, get rid of, if your entire thing is about player safety and about, put the ball on, you know what? Put the ball on a 5-yard line and say you got 2 plays.
Yeah.
You got 2 plays to score from a 5-yard line and the other team gets the ball. You know how quick you would get through and then you go 2-point conversion after that. You'd get through, or even 10-yard line. You'd get through way, way faster with your, you wouldn't have ties. There should never be a tie in pro football. We should never have a tie ever again. They should fix that. They made it shorter. They made it shorter. I mean, all that's leading to are more ties.
Well, how about do it like my league, okay, instead of your
I'm fine with that
old-fashioned league. Yeah. How about a 2-point convert, a 1 point from the 2 points from the 5, and 3 points from the 10.
NFL's got it
and
wrong on
And you can
on
actually
this.
Catch up down 9 points.
Well, I don't love that.
10 points.
I don't love gimmicky stuff to let you like. That sounds almost like a
oh, hey, listen, you got 1 play to thing. Get 10 yards, you get 3 points.
And here's
you
know the what 2-point that is? Shot.
It's a 3-pointer. Oh, except it's really, really hard.
No, 3-pointers are 2 points. This anything more than 2 points is goofy. I don't like that. You shouldn't be able to catch up that
you mean
quickly
like a
with
field goal
gimmick.
Okay.
A field goal is a field goal.
Right, right. But this,
no,
listen, my league knows how to do it. My league knows how to do it.
Something you see on N1 where there's a Mountain Dew on the floor. There's a Mountain Dew court. You're playing like some kind of
curmudgeony old men.
My kids play your kind of league.
No, let's do 10 minutes.
minutes of overtime.
No, let's, that's terrible. Yes. But you're over here like, and this. Then you should get into a trick shot into a trash can for 20 points. Like, no. You shouldn't be able to catch up because you can shoot a ball out of your ass.
Is there a trash can anywhere in the XFL?
Can?
No, that's no. Astros baseball.
That's what you're talking
about. You're mixing
it up. And if you punt it into a
can. We know what Lance's league is about.
What? If a linebacker wears a number that I don't recognize, it's going to lead to bad football.
Yeah, right, go you to Jay. And Tom Brady.
Jay wants to talk about Tom Brady. Let's go to Jay
you
right
Tom
now.
You Brady.
Hey, somebody's going to wear Jay. A number
oh,
I don't
I'm sorry.
Recognize.
Then. How many Super Bowl rings do you have?
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. He's got 7. And guess what? It's too hard now because he might not wear a 50 number.
Now you're never going to get a Super Bowl ring.
Old
now.
Old curmudgeony men. Get now off you're my never lawn with get it. Your... 2-point conversions.
Get off my lawn. I can't get off my lawn. These rings are too heavy. I'm going to have to get a moving company in here for all these trophies and rings.
Yeah, well, guess what? Yeah. Oh, but you're wearing a number that I don't get.
You're talking about a story that people don't know yet. I don't think everyone's scouring ESPN to read about number change stories.
Yeah, there was a number change in the NFL.
I don't think that's a headline story.
But make sure that you don't. Nobody celebrate a touchdown in our league.
Okay.
Just guess what?
Go through and tell people what the number change story is first.
Now you can wear number 1 through 19 if you play a position other than
skill,
quarterback, kicker, and,
skill position.
And punter.
Skill position and linebackers can.
Right.
So skill position and linebackers can wear it.
But Tom Brady's worried about it. No, it's going to be bad football.
Defensive
line. Because you wear number 2. What?
Defensive line still 70 through 90. Offensive line. A lot of it's still the same. What Tom Brady has said was, and this must be a quarterback thing, because it doesn't really, I don't really get it, but I also don't play quarterback in the NFL, nor do you. You played in the option, so no one cares what you had to say.
I almost did one.
You were an option quarterback. It doesn't count. You never had to make
a
check
of
anybody.
In high school. Then all of a sudden, my shattered dreams.
And he says what Tom Brady is saying is it's going to be harder to identify players based on numbers. I guess a lot of the identification stuff comes from being number 50. So a lot of the identification you do is linebackers and safeties. And those two numbers are not the same. Now they can be the same. And so what Tom Brady is saying, and for him to say this, it's obviously a big deal to him in terms of quick recognition of
what the position is. Why can't your Mike linebacker be number 3? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, I think his thing is it's easier. Well, things move much faster than college, and there's no sideline. There's not a bunch of calls coming from the sideline. So I think when you see a player who is a safety lined up near the box, but you think he's a linebacker, it could have an. My guess is it has where your eyes go because you're supposed to locate safeties. It's harder to figure out who the safety is.
I don't know
if he knows. I know he's been around so long, and maybe back when he played college football, the numbers were more traditional.
And shoulder pads were this wide.
Yeah, but most of the players he's going to be playing with have dealt with the random number being the linebacker or the defensive tackle.
Yeah, in college, they've been doing that.
Well, other quarterbacks have seen, I mean, this is unnormal.
Yeah, right. Well, they're younger than, 50.
How can Kyler Murray identify if a linebacker is now wearing 21?
Kyler Murray did that. How's Deshaun going to identify anything?
Well, the number 22 and 18 might be a little issue for him.
I got a question. Jay is
you're out of line.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Double Rod, fellas.
Back
hey, before Jay. I get to that, I was going to let you know there's a thunderstorm predicted for tonight, and I don't really trust that Travis Herzog guy, but I'll tell you this morning, Mrs. Laresca is getting some extreme good details on that line of storms coming through, so you may want to check that out, John. Hey, on that number change, so I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Lance. Do you think it's going to impact it? And the other thing that I think came out of that story, apparently if you change your number going into the upcoming season, you've got to buy out the inventory. Yeah, I mean, do you know what the qualification is that? Do you got to pay retail price, or is that some type of discounted volume rate?
I thought that was an interesting element, too. Yeah. We didn't mention that. If you want to change numbers this year, now 22, you can do it for free.
Right.
If you want to do it this year, you have to buy out all of those jersey numbers. I guess with your name on it, you have to pay for it because it's already been paid for by your team.
Right. But you have to announce it now so that they stop making them. So they stop like D-Hop is going to do
it. Oh, no, not just the team. Oh, this is for all consumers?
No. Wait.
Or just the ones that are made for your own team? I didn't understand that part.
So the NFL manufactures D-Hop jerseys, first Cardinal D-Hop jerseys, and they send them to the Cardinals and the team store. But they're in manufacturing right now, so D-Hop has to tell the league, I'm going to change next year.
Hold on. So wait. You mean retail too? You got to buy the retails?
Apparently.
So this isn't just about having you got to buy out all 40 jerseys we have for you here for your games. Are you sure it's not that?
No.
You mean all of the D-Hop jerseys? That's impossible.
Well, no, I mean, what do you mean? The ones that have been manufactured and not sold yet.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
well, then, so the most popular players is going to
be really expensive.
An arm and a leg. It's
going to be really expensive.
And, you know, players are going to... I'll bet you there's at least one fist fight over player number in a locker room. There'll be a minimum of one fist fight in the NFL this year because two guys who are used to having single-digit numbers in college are going to want to get back to it, and there's going to be... And remember now, you're going to have a whole defense. Everyone's going to want to switch. Wide receivers will rarely have number 80s anymore.
Right.
cornerbacks, the days of corners having double-digit numbers at all are over. Linebackers. And there's going to be guys who get in fights. I guarantee you will have at least one guy who's like,
"So D-Hop,
your sorry ass shouldn't be number two. What? You were number two in college, and your team was garbage, and you were garbage.
Yeah.
You were undrafted." And then it'll turn into like, "Well, we can step outside and talk about that."
What number was D-Hop in college?
He was six.
He was six? He's probably going to... Dalvin Cook was four, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, so Dalvin Cook wants to change, too.
D-Hop talked about going to six.
Now, they'll probably go, you know what? I'm going to take one more year. I'm going to do it in 22 because it won't cost me anything.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
For who?
Right.
I'm not giving the league all my money. I'll wait. I'll wait this out.
Yep. 7:39.
And then you're going to have rookies coming in like, "I want number six," and D-Hop, no.
Mm.
We're going to have to, something's going to happen here because you're not getting number six. Just because you're a rookie, it's going to cost you anything. I would think that's a rookie thing, too. Rookies can't have single digits. If you're on a team, the veterans can't let a rookie have single digits. I treat it like...
Unless you're like the number...
I love the Temple stuff. You know about the Temple Tough?
Yeah.
So for people who don't know, the Temple Tough number, the team awards the toughest guys on the team single digit numbers. So I'm watching defensive lineman number 9 and number 7
What was his name? The linebacker,
Trevor Mattis is who you're talking about.
Yeah, whatever. Mattishevich.
It was Mattis?
Mattishevich.
No, he said Trevor Mattis is the dude who worked for ESPN.
Oh.
What is his first name? I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Little Temple, the redhead linebacker.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of those.
He was number one, I think.
Yeah. And Hassan Reddick was single digit. Jacob Martin, his last year, I believe, was single digit also for because he was Temple Tough. I think he was number 9. Our own rock boy, Jacob Martin. So, yeah, in Temple, every year, the toughest guys get single digits. Now, in the NFL, you know, the numbers are so important, guys. It's part of their brand, part of their identity. Yeah. You won't have that. But I do love that concept. A&M has the Jacob Hester number. I
LSU
like those.
Does.
What's that?
LSU has the Jacob Hester.
I mean, who did I say, A&M? Yeah. I meant LSU. A&M has the number 12, obviously, but that's for something different. I like that tradition in college football where they honor a player or they honor something. But you can only do that when guys are constantly rotating in and out off the roster. So you can't do that. But I think it would be cool, although the league would crap on that, if there was a number that rotated, you know, this is for the best special teams player, the biggest dog on special teams or whatever is voted by the team, or the most valuable guy gets number 7 or whatever the case may be. It'd be fun, but then the league would say, "You can't change every year. It's costing us a fortune."
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's a special teams player. What are you talking about?
By the way, you'll sell more jerseys. 7:41 ESPN 97.5. You want to get Bowlegged Jay in here before we take a break? Here, Bowlegged Jay, what's up?
Yo.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on? Morning,
what's up?
Hey, man. So, LZ, I had a question for you. I was talking to a couple of my guys. When it comes to dead cat space, could an owner, like, you know, when they said Deshaun Watson is going to get, you know, paid $25 million, it's going to go against the salary cap, this, that, and other. Do the owners really have to pay that money, or is it just money that you can't spend? Essentially, is the owner saving money by not having to spend the cap space money?
No, that's actually a good question, because whatever your base salary is, you have to pay it. That's actually going to be paychecks. However, what you're referring to, and this is a good question, there's base salary, which is actual cash. There's bonuses that will be earned, which is actual cash. But then there's signing bonuses. So if you got a signing bonus, let's say Deshaun got it of $20 million, and let's say for easy math, his contract is 10 years, and he got $20 million, then you prorate that over all 10 years. So let's do it over five. Let's say over 5 years, because that's actually closer to what it would be. So $20 million over 5 years, that means $4 million per year
lands on every. Now the cash has already been paid, but 4 million invisible dollars, which count like what you're talking about, will count towards the cap on each of those years. So every single one of those years, let's say his base salary is 25 million, and we've got that. Let's call it 25. He has given a $25 million signing bonus over 5 years. So obviously the math on that is 5 million per year is what hits the cap. Now he's got his 25 million cash that's already paid. But for salary cap purposes, they spread it over the duration of that contract. So that's an extra $5 million in not real money, but cap hit. So now it's gone from $25 million to $30 million. $30 million cap hit, $25 million that the owner will have to pay that year. If he's traded or cut at any point, and let's say it happens after just 1 year, and so he's got 4 years left, then you go to all those prorated salary cap dollars, which would be $20 million total after that first year's $5 million is done, it accelerates. So now the base, you don't worry about the base salary, but that $20 million, it's going to hit your cap. That $20 million is going to hit your cap. That's why Matt Ryan, they redid Matt Ryan's contract in Atlanta. They restructured it, and they gave him actual cash like signing bonus. But because of that, it's made it impossible now for him to be cut. It's too big a cap hit. This year and next year is a tough one too, actually. But this year for sure. So, you know, if you got a cap hit of 25, if Deshaun had a cap hit of 30 million and his base salary is 31 million, then you cut Deshaun, you know, some people think, well, that's $30 million dead cap space. Yeah, it's $30 million dead cap, but his actual base salary is 31 million, so you actually save $1 million. So dead cap has to be subtracted from base salary. And your dead cap, your cap space is determined by actual base salary, which is real money that has to be paid. But then on top of that, your signing bonus. Now, what I've noticed has happened is we're seeing more guaranteed money, but we're not seeing as much signing bonus where they get it up front early.
Well, that's not Matt Ryan's was $46.5 million signing bonus.
Yeah, because they basically converted his money up.
They signed a 5-year, $150 million extension
to get space.
$46.5 million signing bonus, which is, wow. That's why it's so penal for these guys, is because the signing bonuses are so big.
But most aren't good signing bonuses. That was a mechanism just to free up money this year, to get right under the cap.
Right.
So they had to convert it to
right
multiple years, which is what makes it tougher to cut them.
That's
this is why, and I'm hearing that Atlanta's not drafting a quarterback. At least not one of the big boys. I'm hearing they either trade back.
They got to trade back.
I've heard trade back is the likely, and they may not be trading up. Everyone thinks they'll trade up for somebody will trade up for Justin Fields. I've heard it could be for Pitts or Waddle, Pitts or Chase, Jamar Chase, because people want to get ahead of 5 and 6.
All right.
Sorry, Dell.
Ooh. Why are you apologizing to me?
Because your Dolphins are not going to get it. You're going to get stuck.
I don't know if you've heard, but they're playing with. Your money, not their money.
You're stuck with 152-pound wide receiver. Congratulations.
Or you can trade back and take whoever. I mean, or take Waddle. I think they'll be fine.
Right, what I'm going to take.
You already trade up.
What
trade
I'm going to take is no John Clay Wolf this morning. Sorry to everybody. John Clay Wolf is not going to be with us. We already had our inappropriate conversation with Red Raider Kevin. So we didn't really need John Clay Wolf in here this morning. What we got, though, is GimmeTheVin.com. That's what we've got. John Clay Wolf will be – you'll hear his inappropriate conversation tomorrow morning right here at 9 o'clock on ESPN 97.5, because that's when he comes on here every week. He's got the longest-running show, I think, on the station, John Clay Wolf does. So if you're looking for inappropriateness, just give a listen tomorrow morning. And if you're looking to sell your car, GimmeTheVin.com. He will give you more than the dealer. You have a bona fide dealer offer. You have a bona fide offer from CarMax. Well, that's all you got to do is go to GimmeTheVin.com, and he'll give you more. And if he can't give you more, if he says, no, that's a ridiculous offer, then he'll send you $100. How about that? So all you got to do, if you want to sell your car and get the most for it, GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Listening to The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, just reading up on yesterday's deal with Rusty Harden and Tony Busby, they went back and forth, and a lot of it was just a lot of rhetoric, and a lawyer who was overseeing it said a lot of this stuff is just, I mean, it's a lot of show. There was a lot of show there yesterday, and it was a show by the women who showed up and actually wanted to show Rusty Harden that, you know, and listen, you can't just go out there flippantly say all of us are liars. When in fact, maybe, well, I don't know, in fact, when and perhaps they are not lying. So here's the, this is kind of interesting, though. This story goes into the, what do you guys think of the SI story with Mary, who was an alias, that she didn't want her name?
I was told that, I didn't get all the details, but I was told about her before the SI stuff ever came out. One of our listeners hit me in direct message, said there was two girls that he knows that were contacted. He goes, SI's digging around. Just so you know, SI's digging around. Two girls I know. He described, he had something to say about both girls. Not negative, just kind of personality-wise. He said, I won't say anything more. That's private. But he knew about this before any of this broke. So that's how I know it's accurate. He said, there's two girls. One of them's talked. One of them hasn't talked to SI. There's something coming out on Deshaun Watson on SI because they're digging around hardcore on this. And he said the one girl just didn't – he said she's kind of naive and she didn't know what was happening at first, thought it was very strange. And then the second time she realized it and she asked him to leave. Well, that completely jived with what ended up coming out in the Sports Illustrated article. Completely. So that's how I knew that, okay, that's real. What this guy just told me is – her account of that before there was ever a sports, because he told me they were coming and I just kind of forgot about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, this guy, he's a coach too. So yeah, I think that was probably accurate based on the accounting that was already given to me. Now I didn't get all the details. I didn't ask for all the details. He had the details though. So I think that was probably accurate.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it definitely, while she's anonymous. Now, Rusty Harden was asked about it. He goes, that's unfair. How can I comment about someone who won't give her name, that we can't investigate it, we can't verify it? That's just unfair to us and to Deshaun Watson that someone using an alias and anonymously accusing him of stuff, won't step up, won't stand forward. But I do believe that it lends some credence, even though that's a difficult thing because he can't defend himself against her, you know? So it's her word against his, and he can't fight back. So that's why all of these women stepping up. And I give them credit yesterday for showing up in court and saying, listen.
Absolutely.
You know what? You can say all you want, Rusty Harden. We stand by our story. They just said we stand by our story. There were at least a half a dozen there.
They didn't back down. I mean, look, I don't know if all the stories are accurate or not, and it wouldn't shock me. And I've said this before: if some of them weren't accurate, if some people looked at this as a chance of being in on a class action lawsuit where they weren't going to be named, they weren't going to have to, they could just jump in. I understand why Rusty wanted the name. I still don't think the name should have been made public if they could have avoided it, but I understand the strategy behind it, and I guess in Texas you have to do that if the other side asks for it. I think Tony wanted it done in private. Whatever the case may be, I'm not here to argue that anymore, but I do think that it does show, it shows a determination to see this thing through by the women who were there. They obviously feel strongly enough about this, and I'm sure for some people, they're going to think this is part of the money grab anyway, and this is what you have to do. And for other people, they'll see it as, wow, for them to put their faces and names on this, and knowing what's going to be coming their way from some people, that's pretty strong for them to do that if there was nothing that happened to them. So it was, it was interesting to see this move forward. I do think we're getting closer to resolution. I can't think we're not. I mean, there's no other way other than You guys talked about
22 of them, though, and look how long it took Antonio Brown.
Well, that's what y'all brought this up yesterday on the show. Antonio Brown just settled. Now, as Dell mentioned, there were some very major, serious charges against him. They're not the same charges against Deshaun, so maybe that would go quicker. I don't know if discovery.
Yeah.
But you're still talking about so many that have to be filed. You have to hope there's no continuance. You have to. There's still fact finding that probably needs to go on.
Well, what? Yeah, there's no way. There's a lot.
We had
stuff.
A lawyer tell us there's no way that gets done in 1 year. There's no way.
It's going to be virtually impossible unless they do it as almost. And it's not a class action, but unless they do it like a class action in which exposing himself is worth this much and moving and him accidentally touching him in his privates is so much. If they can refute the forced oral, that, you know, or if not, then that would be so much. That's probably the only way. And if they all agree that they'll take that amount of money, whatever that amount of money is, otherwise they've got to do each and every one singularly, and the plaintiff has to, they have to agree to the terms. Both sides have to agree to the terms. I mean, I don't know. It's going to take longer than this offseason, that's for sure.
You think so?
Yes.
You mean even if they settle, you think it's going to take longer than the offseason?
Yes. Yeah, it's going to take a while, man. This is going to take – because Rusty's not going to want to pay any of them. He's going to want to make sure that they're all legitimate. Otherwise, why would you pay him?
But what if the number goes – yeah, that's true. But what if the number goes down to 14 women?
Huh?
What if the number goes down to 14 to 12? Let's say the number is cut in half.
Yeah, well, that'll make it – well, if he can prove that their claims are false and he shows them and, oh, by the way, we're gonna expose you, and if you lie in a deposition, you could face charges – then maybe they will go down. Maybe they will go down. of course, they'll settle. It's a money grab. Do we know that it's a money grab, Coach? Do we know that? Do we know it's a money grab? Or is it possible that maybe Deshaun was inappropriate? Is it possible?
No, you heard him.
Yeah, it's a money grab.
I mean, I guess. It's a civil case, although the Houston PD is investigating a couple of the cases. I mean... we knew the money grab thing is weird only because it's a civil case. So how else would they get any restitution besides money?
Besides him going to prison?
Yeah, but this isn't a criminal proceeding. So we know if they decide that their way to get some get back, it will be through money. And I'm not sure. We all know if someone wronged us, we might sue them. And would it be a money grab to sue someone if they wronged you?
No. And. If they were wrong here,
system.
Listen, the civil way is better. Oh, he ain't going to prison.
Yeah, there's not enough evidence.
And, you know what? He'll get. Especially in this, unless it's the forced oral thing. Now that's a real criminal charge.
Yeah.
The other stuff, he ain't gonna get. You know what? Give me some money for it.
I mean, we know Harvey Weinstein was criminal, but was there civil? There had to be. I'm trying to remember if there's a civil number. Louis C.K., I don't know that he was sued. A lot of times there's not going to be a civil suit. I think if you're worried, one of you lawyers can call in. But I don't think civil suit is for people that you think can pay.
Yeah.
You're not going to throw a civil suit
going after
or a big number at somebody who you don't think can pay.
They ain't going after me and Dell, okay? Right, you maybe with all your NFL money.
Ooh. You, they're I would getting ask, into some of that.
You know what
money.
I'd ask for you not to do is to include me in any.
Yeah, I don't want any
hypothetical situations where I could be sued for misconduct. I don't need your hypotheticals.
Keep your hypotheticals down.
We know how inappropriate
that
you are.
That Dr. Pepper's got you feeling some kind of way.
Let's say that we. In this case, I'm going to assume they're telling the truth. It's an assumption for this thought, not that I know what's going on. If we assume that the women who say Deshaun moved towards them and tried to touch them with his, you know, his stuff, does that rise to the level of a case where he's going to actually do jail time?
No.
So if the only way to get some get back is to sue him and recover something, why is that a money grab?
It's not a money grab. I don't believe it's a money grab. I believe it's. Yeah, I want restitution.
Yeah,
and the only way I'm going to get any is with money.
Yeah, because
that's where I can hurt you.
He would not be going to jail for that.
No, he's not. 759 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
What about Super about Centers? That. Ocho Cinco had to buy out all the jerseys whenever he changed to Ocho Cinco. I remember that story where when he went from Chad Johnson to Ocho Cinco, they made him buy out the jerseys. But see, I don't know that that's – I don't know. We'll find out. I don't even know who to call. Hey.
Call the Supercenter, Generator Supercenter.
Well, I don't think they're going to know about buying out the jerseys for the retail versus the team jerseys. But I don't know. Maybe they know that. Maybe you're going to be one of those who is one of the helpers. I can tell you this, that my friends over at Generator Supercenter, they've never been busier. Their business went absolutely bananas. And the reason is simple. It went bananas because the big freeze really created a huge necessity and need for standby generators. No one wants to have it 40 degrees or lower in their own house. It's dangerous, and it's a big, big problem. You don't want to be without your electricity. It could be 98 degrees outside, and that would be potentially even worse because you're not able to put any layers on. Listen, the standby generator business is going crazy right now, and they want you to be part of it. They are looking to hire. They're looking to hire technicians who can help install. They're looking for helpers for those technicians. They are looking for sales staff. They have jobs available. They have basically taken their jobs and increased them for the increase in demand, and you can benefit now. Go to GeneratorSupercenter.com and find out more right now. Make sure you contact your local location, GeneratorSupercenter.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.